Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Steve speaking, and I'm afraid it's one of those ghastly best of podcasts from the Running Commentary Boys. But don't go just yet, as we've carefully distilled their marvellous two-hour run with Martin Yelling, an international runner who completed the grueling Hawaiian Ironman and also ran the ultimate human race, the Comrades Ultra. Today, Martin, Paul and Rob embark on a run along the Southwest Coast Path. I think embark is a rather good word to use as you're here. Enjoy.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, welcome to Running Commentary.
We are in a very exciting spot with a very exciting guest. We've just stepped off the ferry across the mouth of Poole Harbour with Marathon Talks Martin Yelling.
It's amazing to be with you guys, but it is. How windy is it?
Yeah.
This is fantastic. This is very windy.
It's all a bit... Oh,
we're basically in a sand dune, aren't we?
We are attempting the Marathon des Sables.
I like the fact you let out a little squeal then. Windy squeal.
No, you misheard. I definitely didn't say, oh, just then.
This is probably the most dramatic start we've ever had.
We haven't even started, to be fair, we are still walking as well.
Yeah, we haven't actually started running yet.
But we're in beautiful, in Dorset or Wiltshire here?
Dorset here.
We're in Dorset. In Dorset, I'd heartily recommend it. we've got Poole Harbour on our right and the actual wide open ocean on our left, and we're going to go for a run. We're in your hands on that.
Well, we have. This is my favourite bit here. This is for two reasons. This red phone box I love.
Oh, right, photo.
It's like the best sighted red phone box.
Oh, yeah,
it's
kind of Doctor Who-esque, isn't it, that one?
Look, want to open that.
Yeah, great.
And the second reason is there's a big blue sign just as you get off that ferry. I think it's called Bramble Bush Ferry or something like
something
that.
Something like it's in Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, and that big blue sign shows the end of the Southwest Coast Path that starts in Minehead.
Yeah, all right.
And then goes 630 miles and finishes there.
I was thinking that's difficult because Minehead's on the other side.
It's a long way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do all of that today.
I'd rather not. Ow! I wish I'd worn trousers. This sand's hurting my legs.
Sand biting into
oh my God.
These Londoners aren't used to this, are they?
No.
Martin's hardened with a beach life.
So are we running in the sand? Let's run somewhere sandy. So can you tell us anything about a run today, or are you just going to make it up?
Yeah, I thought we'd end up in Minehead.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Minehead.
So we've taken the little chain ferry from Sandbanks across to Studland.
Studland.
And now we're going to go just into Rempston Heath and Rempston Forest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great standing rock called Aggleston Rock.
Yep.
That I hope to be able to...
Nice.
Well, we'll see what it's like when we get there.
Great.
And then we're going to drop across to the top of Nine Barrow Down.
Oh, I know Nine Barrow Down.
And you're going to look over Swanage on one side and Poole Harbour on the other. And then with this wind, we're going to come loosely careering down the cliff
throw
edge.
Throw ourselves off the cliff.
Yeah, yeah. Or just throw ourselves up in the air and hope that the prevailing wind captures us like leaves. Down.
Yeah, past old Harry Roxon and back in.
Nice.
Brilliant.
You asked for about 6 miles. It's probably about seven.
That's fine. We can We can do seven. We can do
we
seven.
We can handle it.
Are you doing a lot of running at the moment then, mate? What's your, where really. Are you in the cycle of events? Have you got an event that you're building towards, or are you sort of ticking over?
No, not really. I did London. Well,
yes.
I saw you both.
We saw
you.
Yes.
You were finishing, coming screaming down the highway.
Yeah.
You? I didn't see you, Paul, but
well,
I saw
he'd
you.
Already gone. That's the thing.
I saw Rob
because you filmed the whole thing. You were able to film what you're doing pace. But how was it? How was London? How was it? We didn't talk to you afterwards.
It was great. Around 5:02.
Yeah.
What
was it like running it that slow? I look forward to running it that slow and just chatting to people and having fun. And
it was wicked.
Do you know what I mean? It sounds really good fun.
There was a couple of moments where I felt, I mean, it's still hard.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not nothing. Yeah.
5 hours of running. And
that always amazes me, that. It's just so difficult to run for that amount of time.
It's 5 hours of running, and the thing I think, I mean, I knew, but I hadn't actually experienced firsthand before, is that, like, people are rinsing themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
At 5 hours.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, and I think when we go out, you know, you run hard as you can for 3.5 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
But these guys are 5.5
that's
hours.
That's right. It's all about the speed that's available to you, isn't it? Because people say, oh, it's amazing that, you know, if you do a sub-3 like you guys, then that's brilliant. But you can do it. And then you do it and you can say, right, I've only been running for 3 hours. But if your pace is such that running at your hardest, you're going to come in 5.5, that's 5.5 hours running. You know what I mean?
It's
going to hit you hard.
Do, isn't it?
And it was difficult. In parts, you know, we were filming it, but we also had a lot of stopping.
Yeah,
right.
So we were stopping to check the equipment. We're paranoid batteries were going to run out.
Of course,
all this sort of stuff.
Of course, yeah.
I'm not worried about that stuff at all now.
Are we going? Is
we're
that
off,
it?
This is
we're
it. Off. We've started actually running.
We've just started running.
Yeah,
so
I mean, we were running all along, weren't we, guys? Yeah.
Now we're going to hear
Martin pointing. Now we're off.
Hear us puffing. it was really good. I got passed by two men in full chainmail, and I didn't pass the guy carrying the washing machine till about mile 17.
we were with one of the chainmail guys on the train.
We met him on the train on the way there. Yeah, brilliant. We met this really nice, softly spoken Scottish boy. I think it was from Inverness.
Yeah.
What a day he's going to have. That's so tough, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was pretty good day, and I've really enjoyed it. But now, after that, no, I've not got anything in the immediate future.
Yeah.
I'm going to Kenya in October to run the Kericho Marathon.
Well, that's is that like a kind of Mexican sausage?
Which is a place in Kenya.
Yeah.
And we're taking a little group out to do the first ever one.
Oh, wow.
I've never been to Kenya. So
wow, that
I've
is
I've never
exciting.
Been to Kenya. No, I've definitely not run in Kenya, so
that's going to be really good fun, isn't it? Yeah, that's
are there any is there any history of high quality running in Kenya?
Yeah,
I think maybe a little bit.
I'm just not going to tell the local, you know, the local speedsters.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, most of my running now is social. You know, with my wife,
yeah,
drop
yeah.
the kids off, go for a little run, stop for a coffee.
Yeah, good.
Occasionally, I'll think I'm faster than I am and try a session or a
try and get a bit of speed up
try a tempo run, see if I can bring my park run time down, but it just keeps going up.
Well, Paul was going for a time in the marathon and got it, and now you very much stick shifted down to very short runs. That's where all your pace
it's quite a tricky period post-marathon, isn't it? Especially because I was trying to beat 3 hours for a while.
Beat
I beat 3 hours. Yeah, I massacred it. 2:59:21 seconds.
Oh, perfect.
So I got there and it was great. And then it's like, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But it's the what's next thing, isn't it?
You know. Did you know that you were like at what point? Because that sub-3 is a big goal.
Yeah, it's hard work. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah.
At what point did you go, this is, I've got this, I'm, or this is still within reach.
Well, I mean, I went through half in 88 minutes and 7 seconds, so I left myself a bit of a cushion. And then, it just got harder and harder.
Yeah.
I didn't really know I'd got it till I overtook the sub 3 pacer overtook me at about 22 and a half miles.
Yeah.
Which was a tough moment, but I just kind of held him there. I managed to hold him there. And then I overtook him just before 26 miles. So I thought, then I've got it.
Yeah.
And then I just legged it for the finish, you know.
Oh, it must
but
have
it was
felt
good
amazing.
Fun. It was really good fun. Yeah,
did
you,
so when you, was that your... Like, was there a big difference between your gun time, your chip time? Was it about the same?
It was about the same, because I could
start...
So you
could cross under the finish sub 3 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was great fun. It was great. And but since then I've just been doing not much mileage, but I've been basically training like a 1500 meter runner. So I just wanted to get a bit faster for a while, you know, change down a little bit.
I haven't really got a sense of 1500 meters as a distance. I mean, it's...
Have you ever run like 1500 meters or a mile or anything as fast as you can?
No, I mean, the two comparisons I've got is 5Ks and 10Ks. And the fact that way back, literally decades before I considered running, when I was at school, I just had for a lardy bloke who didn't do any of that kind of thing, I had a slightly surprising turn of speed and stamina.
Yeah.
So when it came time for games, where I'd be, you know, classically picked last, but even then it was probably more the 800 metres.
Yeah.
I was a guy who in the 800 metres was still going in a second lap. Whereas all the speedy guys went.
I think everybody should try and run a mile as fast as they can.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tricky, isn't it?
It's really hard.
Really tricky. Yeah.
I mean, people think it's an easy thing to do, but actually, training for it is really hard too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you think, wow, it's minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not running for hours. It's minutes, but it takes a real...
You're so near your threshold all the time, aren't you?
It takes a certain skill to firstly be able to push yourself quite horribly.
Yeah.
And secondly, to be able to hold that for what seems like a long time. So, you know, whether you're going to run a mile in 8 minutes or 5.
So we're going through a gate... I was going to read the name of the place, but it said help control nesting birds. Well, this is Godlingston Heath.
Yeah.
As the National Trust would tell us. There we go. Off you go.
Yeah, so my running has morphed a little bit like that with me, you know?
Yes. Yeah. You can change it according to how much time you've got to give to it and what age you're at. And there's always a challenge that can excite you, isn't it? That's what it could be, distance or getting a bit faster for a bit or seeing a new place or...
Yep. Yeah, running with different people.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? And I'm a bit like you that I've done some long stuff now. Oh.
What's your longest run now?
As a runner.
Yep.
I wonder if it's Comrades. 56 miles?
Yeah.
Probably Comrades' longest race. I've done some ultra stages, you know?
Yep.
See, did you do the South Coast last year?
Well, I tried.
What happened with that?
Seema, I stopped after day... 9, I think it was supposed to be a 21-day challenge.
Yeah.
I fully stopped after day 15.
Right.
But I rather cleverly thought it would be a good idea to hire a big, comfortable camper van.
Right.
So that I could relax in the evening.
Yeah.
And that my dad... could drive it.
All right, yeah.
We could spend some quality father-son time together.
I can't see anything wrong with this plan.
That's a recipe for disaster if you've ever heard of it. Anyway.
Yeah, so...
Good idea.
I was very wrong with both of those things.
So was it just your dad shouting at you out of a van for like six hours a day before a row then?
The whole route is on... it was on the southwest coast path, so it's very inaccessible.
Right.
It's even more inaccessible in a 7-meter camper.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of underestimated how hard it was going to be. So I started running at 9 o'clock in the morning, and on some days I wouldn't finish till 10, half past 10 at night.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then there's not much quality time left after that, is there?
No. And so what tended to happen was my dad missed a few checkpoints. So
just checkpoints that I imagine you're quite looking forward to,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Crashed the van.
So you get to the end of a 13-hour running day, and you've got to kind of phone the AA and the insurance company.
A guy. People were coming and joining me for sections of the run, and you know, which was fantastic. You know, but one of them kind of got really ill. You know, out on the route, and you know, ambulances were called. And
wow. It sounds like your support wasn't really operating as support.
That would be a good.
Yeah.
That would be a good summary.
Undermined by the folk you got.
But at the same time, it's a phenomenal thing to have done.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, how many miles did you do before you stopped?
Well, in the first week, I covered 260 miles with 50,000 feet of elevation.
Yeah. I mean, so 10 marathons over hills.
That's really tiring.
Yeah, in 7
so
days.
Tiring. Yeah.
In July.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. Going sort of sometimes 7 hours, you know, running out of water because I thought there'd be places to stop and missing checkpoints and things like that. Good. But it was an amazing experience, but I could have been wiser with my prep.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that mean, ultimately from here, I mean, obviously things can change, but does that mean it's a never again or one day I'll go back and do it properly? In terms of thinking that it was preparation that let you down, does that mean that you want to reattempt it someday?
I would still like to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How far is it in total?
630 miles.
Oh, it's a huge thing to undertake in any context.
Well, I mean, a rather annoying ultra runner called Damien Hall.
Yes.
You may have heard of
him.
Really, just, you know, incredibly annoying. I love him, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's super talented.
So strong, yeah.
Yeah, and he ran the whole lot in 10 days.
Wow.
Which is just breathtaking.
That's enormous.
So he could have doubled back and helped you with the car, couldn't he?
Well, he could have. What he actually could have done is run it one way, turned round, and run it back, and I still wouldn't have been finished.
And coming past you going, yeah.
Check me out, Mr. Fancy.
And also, you know, it's going back to that fact that even without the actual underfoot difficulty, elevation and the rocks, you know, coastal travel is... It's almost the opposite of as the crow flies, I'm making a beeline. You know, the number of rivers you've got to cross, cliffs you've got to clamber up.
Yeah, being outside on your own.
Nature's amazing. Yeah, when you're running in it, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
It's hard
We kind of harp on about the significance of being connected, you know, and that journey just, you know, really taught me that. Like, we connect with the wrong things.
Yeah.
So I felt really connected with the route I was running on, you know, with the sea, the cliffs, the people I met. I didn't feel at all connected with work or my phone.
Yes, that's great.
You know?
That's one of the joys of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Disconnecting from everything like that.
Do you get that with your running?
I love it, yeah. I mean, I usually run off watch, and obviously I don't take my phone with me. I love a run in the woods on my own. That's where I'm happiest, running slowly in the woods.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. But I love a race as well. I mean, I love it all, but...
But I think you're quite good at finding that balance, you know. We kind of daydream about getting lost, and we talk about dog runs, you know, just going off, not knowing how far you're going to go, what speed you're going to go, where you're going to go. But equally, I think Paul in particular is quite good at holding on to that mindset like a kind of glass of water.
Yeah.
Whilst running in a slightly more competitive, measured environment, you know.
Yeah, I do think we miss a trick with that. With our, you know, my friend Tom jokes at me for being a tree-hugging runner. I think we're going to go left here. We're trying to find our way there.
Okay, we'll find.
I see that stone.
Yeah, it would be a fun thing to go to, right?
Yeah, yeah, sounds good to me.
There.
Nice stone. It's lovely in general, though. Talking of being in touch with it, we're amongst sandy gorse, kind of ex-sand dune heath.
This is really nice
here.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And nice
across Londoners.
A bit soft underfoot as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's nice
great
to run
surface.
Soft surfaces as well.
Without being too soft, I don't like running in soft, fluffy sand. I know
do you
people
not?
Do.
Great, we've got 2 miles on the beach to finish with.
Yeah, but it's been raining. I just need it slightly firmed up. You know what I mean?
I've had to think carefully about the wind direction, though.
Yeah.
I did it this way round because of the tears you had off the ferry about the little bits of sand
hitting me on the knees.
Yeah,
oh,
I
my
thought
knees.
These city types.
I'm from London.
Whilst Rob gets all wussy over the quality of the sand, let's jump forward to Martin talking about the ultimate human race, the Comrades Ultra. But just before that, Rob's a plank. Rob's plank.
So what's your limit with a plank is what, about three minutes?
I've got up to 3.5 and right. Seen 4 on the horizon. But the moment you let it drop off, it drops away again. And I'll spend a month at 2.5 and work my way back up to 3. So I'm on 3 at the moment. And my life dream, I don't think I'll ever do longer
as
than 5.
As lofty life dreams go, this
that's
is
right.
Right up there.
I know. Well, that's the funny thing, is that the world record for planking is like 5 hours, isn't it?
Is it?
It doesn't, it's preposterous.
I can think of a huge amount of things I'd rather do for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Rock climbing.
But then a lot of people would say that about marathons, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I can think of loads more things I'd rather do for 5 hours than run.
So, in terms of the Comrades then, how did you find the event? You trained, obviously, hard.
You know, I think... So I first heard about it because... I think we interviewed Bruce Fordyce, who...
Ah, the 4-9. Oh, yeah. No, different guy.
Bruce is...
One of the best ultra runners.
9-time.
Ever, yes.
Yeah.
Run Comrades loads of
winner
times,
and a bit of an icon.
Yeah.
In the game show industry.
Yeah. No. Not strictly.
And so we thought we'd do it, and it wasn't that well known in the UK, so we off we went, did it?
Yeah.
And yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful experience of running in Africa. You know, in South Africa, and different people received in a different way. The enthusiasm is different. The crowd support is different.
Yes.
You know, the music on the sides is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you were saying about running the coast path. Gives you that sense of getting back in touch and understanding that running isn't about, you know, it's a way of getting away from kind of technology and times and speed and all this stuff. But also, what you did there is instead you went to a different community, you know?
Yeah.
It's like just seeing that from a different angle. It's always interesting. It's just always fantastic to do the London Marathon. I think people who can't get into it, haven't done it, get a bit irritated sometimes about this celebration, but you can't help it. It's just this, it's a citywide party. So to see that kind of community from a completely different angle in a different
but
country,
while you're doing the same thing, you know,
that's quite a big gate. I don't know what they're planning on bringing through there. If that's a kissing gate, I don't know who you're going to kiss.
And Bruce Fordyce ran ultras off not as much training as other people, didn't he? He was a bit more into, like, I read a bit about him recently, he's more into slightly less mileage than other people might do. You know?
And I can't remember his training, but...
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of long... He was an incredible racer.
Yes.
And he was also running at a, you know, volatile time in South African history.
Right.
And, you know, in apartheid, running with... Yeah, he had his life threatened and all sorts of things.
Wow, I didn't realise.
For standing up for some of the things that he believed in at the time.
Yeah.
And being a very public figure. and
it throws a turn around the park into relief, doesn't it?
Yeah. But if you, yeah, if you ever think of doing an ultra, that's one to...
That's one to do.
Have you done an ultra, Paul?
No, I haven't, though. I mean, it's something I've thought about. I definitely need a new... My initial aim is to get quicker, get a little bit quicker, and then try and run a bit faster for the marathon. See if I've got any more pace in me.
So you've still got that... You've still got that bug?
Yeah, I think so. We'll wait and see. I mean, because it takes a lot out of you, doesn't it? Training and running and trying to run a marathon as fast as you can. But but I did really enjoy it. But whether I can be sufficiently motivated to try and beat, you know, 2:57 for the marathon as I was in beating 3 hours, I don't actually know at this point.
Well, I think you could do it.
Yeah, it's what's the next goal, isn't it? Because there's no way I've got the legs in me or the training in me to do 2:50. So, it's, I don't know. I'm confused.
Well, yeah, I kind of wonder what... You know, like what the motivation is at that point.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Because, well, I understand because, you know, with my own running, when I was thinking, oh, I ran 66 minutes for a half marathon, yes. 66 on the head.
Brilliant.
But I always wanted to run under 65 minutes.
Right.
And I think, well, it's only a minute. And actually, it makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah. But you can argue that in both directions, you know. If Paul's got 2:45 and it was 2:50 or 2:52 or whatever, then stopping at 3 is stopping that dream from becoming, you know.
Well, it's only what you set yourself, isn't it?
So, yeah, of course, yes, yeah.
There's something... Like, I kind of think to my... I've been having this chat with... Tom, going, a question we often ask ourselves about our running is, what would your 100-year-old self say to you about that?
Yeah, yes.
You know, it's like...
You should have beaten 65. Yeah.
Why didn't you run 64? Yeah, I think it's up this way.
Yeah.
We're currently listening.
You know, I think your 100-year-old self would go, man, you put a lot of effort.
Chill out, enjoy it. Yes, yeah.
Into trying to find 60 seconds of your life.
Yes, yeah.
Think how many seconds went into finding that 60 seconds.
Yes, yeah. That's
like, is it worth it?
Yes, especially when you're not operating at an elite level. I think sometimes a lot of runners, serious recreational runners, can approach it a bit too seriously sometimes. And I sort of understand why, because everyone's got their own aims, haven't they? But
yeah. But also people can lose sight of the fact that how fast you run really doesn't define you.
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah. That's fair enough.
You know, when you meet somebody who doesn't run, and this is always a sort of poignant reminder, you meet someone who doesn't run, and you say to them, you've run a marathon in 2:49, and they go, that's absolutely incredible.
That's like the professionals.
Did you win the London Marathon?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and if you went to them and you said, same person, same question, hey, I ran 2:46.
Yes.
Like, their reaction's going to be the same.
Exactly the same, yeah, of course. Yeah. It only matters to you, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's only your understanding of that 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But as long as you're happy with the spend from the rest of your life on that 3 minutes.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that thing, I think that's what makes 3 hours, or made it for me, attractive. It was hard. But achievable, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sort of, it's almost like the everyman's 4-minute mile or something, isn't it? It's really difficult, but you can do it.
Yeah.
It's the magical balance, isn't it, between pushing yourself so you're really getting something out of it, but still, A, remembering that it's for you, it's for fun, and B, remembering to keep in that calm space that ultimately, and a marathon in the end is a great lesson in that, because the achievement We'll always be, and we were reminding ourselves of this during training, the achievement should always be that you did the marathon. Not how fast you did the marathon.
Yeah.
You just got to get round, because that's enough.
And that is enough of part one. In part two, just why did Rob and Paul start making a podcast about running, comedy, and stuff?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You guys, how did you start? Why did you start the running commentary thing?
Well, we used to go running together in the woods. Rob was more into running than me, sort of trying to drag me back into it. The usual pattern was I'd meet Rob on a Monday on the Parkland Way near my house. I'd be hungover and Rob would be training for a marathon. And he'd run 4 miles to meet me.
Yeah.
We'd run 6 miles and he'd run 4 miles home.
Until we started running and talking, I never ran slow.
Yeah.
So I'd come kind of sprinting up the way.
You always run tempo. And we're comics, so we talk about gigs and things.
Yeah.
And we realise, as most people do, the longer you run, the better the chat gets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more loose, isn't
the
it?
The bigger you think.
Yeah. And so we just thought, why not tape it? Why not just do it? So that was a big thing, just recording it while we run, which obviously...
Yeah. And then we spent 4 months failing to do that, and then Steve...
Because the recording kept getting wrong. Kept going wrong.
And I cracked
the technology kept stopping off. It would rain and we couldn't deal with it.
But you've kind of got it down to, you know... Well, you've mastered it a little more now, right?
Yeah.
Well, the show's more popular.
It was exactly. It felt like a lovely anniversary doing the marathon again, particularly with Paul getting his three. But just, we started from January last year. So our kind of running commentary anniversary was a nice moment. It's a nice community now. It just feels like there's a...
This is where we get crushed by cows.
It's that.
Cows and Swanage. Look at that. Pink Floyd album cover, here we go.
You asked me for a nice run, right?
I do, you have come through. Look at that.
Bless the cows, look at them.
That is great.
The cow man, have you ever been chased by cows?
Yeah, loads.
Pretty, they can move, can't they?
They can be pretty scary.
Are you scared, Paul? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying I'm scared.
No, I'm not scared.
I'm just saying I'm wearing red.
Look at that big stocky one.
You didn't get the email that said...
Whatever you do.
Whatever you do, don't wear red. We're all right, Paul. Rob, we're in black.
Yeah. Plus, I'm an experienced cow whisperer.
so we just do it once a week. Very relaxed, go for a run and record it. And get interesting people on to talk about running and spin off into other things. You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you said you're both comics. What does work look like now? So what are you into? What are you doing? Look at that lovely little calf there.
Oh, yeah. Look at you, mate.
I'm doing loads of gigs around the place, and I support Michael McIntyre as he traipses around the world doing his arenas. I go on first kind of thing with him, which is good fun. And I'm developing a sitcom with Sky at the moment. And I do my column for Runner's World as well, which is good for.
Yeah,
so I write that every month. And that keeps us busy. And
it like leads to a lot of when we do things like this, where people say, hey, Paul, hi. And me going,
oh, no.
I can handle it. I don't talk about that.
No, absolutely not.
This is, we're running
but
down
the hard,
region.
It's hard. Your careers are, you know, people are probably listening to either your show or, you know, to Martin thinking, oh, yeah, those guys have got great jobs, great careers. But essentially, you work for yourself.
Yep.
You know, you're...
There's a lot of driving. There's a lot of travel.
Yeah.
I mean, we both drive about 25, 30,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
Around the country. We're like salesmen with jokes, aren't we?
Yeah.
Lots of time in hotel rooms and tans that
and
you don't really know.
That's the bit, the worst thing. You know, I wouldn't want to do... I don't think you can do comedy if you aren't still loving the gigs. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have tough gigs and lovely gigs.
Yeah.
But generally, there is a joy in it that you have to keep finding. And you can see it. We've seen it in other people who are like, you know, one day you'll see them at a gig and you think, they're not enjoying this. And the next thing, they're not doing it anymore. You know what I mean? It's a very hard one to fake. But the bit that you can fake but that wears thin is the mileage, you know?
Yeah.
And it's...
How do you deal with material? You know, like... How do you come up, you know, with fresh material? With
we go for runs around the pool area
and get attacked by a beast of burden,
climb rocks,
rocks and dodge cows. It's just life, isn't it? We just see it.
Yeah.
We just write it.
You write what you know. And that's the other thing about all the travel, though. And you see this with not even young comedians so much as when comedians first go professional. There's sets suddenly fill up with jokes about motorway services and buying sandwiches at M&S.
Also, we're both married, we've got kids. You just talk about your life, isn't it? As you get older and things happen, it's just life gets funny, isn't it? You just take yourself less seriously.
Yeah.
Tom and I have found our you know, our own running podcast has morphed into a little bit of parenting. You know, and it got me thinking, I really should do a parenting podcast.
Yes, a parenting running podcast. I did a park run at the weekend, and two guys pushing buggies overtook me at one point. I managed to get one before the end, but one guy did like mid-17s for a 5K park run.
That's a very serious risk. I've got to say, great speed, but some risk of baby flipping.
PB with a double buggy, 17-12.
Nice.
Double buggy.
With the boys, I've got twin sons.
Tell me though, because I was watching these guys run. At some point, does it become an advantage as you kind of lean, as you're sort of leaning forward? Is there a kind of trolley effect in the supermarket where it's kind of
do you
making
have a Superman?
You,
it? You know, you get both legs out behind.
I've rigged up pedals. The boys, come on, boys.
They're working on your behalf.
I use a lot of pedals.
Now, oddly, my wife used to coach. She still does help him a little bit, but Richard Whitehead.
Yes.
He's the double amputee, won London and Rio.
Yes, yeah.
200 metres, he's run a 2:42 marathon.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm like, mate, come on. You've got no legs. There's got to be an advantage in there somewhere. He sent me a message when I packed in, I was moaning about my legs hurting on the Southwest Coast Path. He sent me a message that just said, come on. You're moaning about your legs hurting. You've got legs to hurt.
I've noticed.
I think I sent back, at least I know what it feels like now. We know each other really well, by the way.
This is a really nice part of the run, isn't it? It feels like we're running into everything and nothing at the same time.
I think we're running toward Old Harry Rocks, isn't
it? We are.
And I've got a little local knowledge of the Isle of Purbeck because I came here on a school journey in 84.
It's beautiful.
Swanage on our right, completely shower-free. Poole Harbour on our left. You can hardly see it against a mist of heavy rain. Yeah. Martin, which way are we going next?
off the edge.
Just straight on.
Let's go. Just keep going. Beautiful. I want to talk about marathon talk.
I just have one thing to add about running and stand-up.
Go on, then.
Which is that I don't think you talk about running your act, do you? I talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's so funny as a stand-up comedian. There is just a slight timing clash. There's loads of time for running. It's a real luxury for us. I'm always very impressed with people training for marathons who kind of go out before work or after work when they've got day jobs, you know. Oh. But, and you know, so I can go out at 10:30 on a Wednesday morning. But and we love a park run. But this being a comedian and running on a weekend morning can sometimes really work, be so it. Hard.
Yeah. Is that because you've like been out so late? You know, you finish really late.
Yeah, you do three gigs on a Friday. Yeah. All right, I'll go for a run. I'm going to go for a run.
Slump over the hotel minibar.
Of course, yeah.
And then think, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Actually, and it's a little bit like, I don't think we draw this comparison often, but you know, that lifestyle is not that different to the life of an elite athlete.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
When I think back to Liz.
Right, yes.
What would she do?
Lots of travelling.
Loads of travel.
Less gin.
Staying in, yeah. A lot less gin. But staying in loads of anonymous hotels.
Yeah.
Doing, you know, performing.
Yes.
In a
high-pressure environment.
Yeah.
And
a
then
community of people who do the same thing that you compare your notes with, but ultimately you're on your own.
You're competing against, yeah.
Although as lovely as you guys are, there's no way I'd have chased you 25 years ago running.
I hear that. Have you not seen these legs? I also noticed that it's true that thing of stand-up plus comedy also works, or rather doesn't work, in reverse. I started for a while going out and saying, so who here? I know you're running, particularly in these days, hugely popular, you know, loads of people run. Mm. Feels like if I look out in the street around my house, I can see someone running like any time of day or night. And yet I started saying to audiences, so who here likes to go for a run?
No one.
Quiet.
Nothing. Because they've all gone to bed.
Yeah.
And also, there's the thing about runners as well is that they don't. There's a commonality between runners. They can get it, but runners have something massively in common with each other because they all run. But at the same time, a lot of them are quite loner types, aren't they?
Yeah.
Quite introverted. So you've got two things happening at once. They like to be together, but they really like to be on their own as well.
Yeah.
We're like a shoal.
We do. Yeah, they all move.
Yeah.
We do like running camps and things, just little ones.
Yes.
Over the course of a year. And, you know, one of the things we try with that is people come, they might not know anybody.
Yeah.
No, it's easy to try and just build that. Like, you're not on your own when you're running.
Yes.
So that for you with your, you know, running commentary, and for us with Marathon Talk, people know us well because they go running with us.
Yes, it's really nice.
They're a part of our conversations.
It's really nice. Yeah.
And I'd add to that that the podcast thing is nice because the same way as social networking is nice because you just have to check in, you know? Mm-hmm. Say you got someone you know from chatting to them like on Twitter or something like that, someone who sort of said, I heard the show, you know who they are. And then you see them at a park run or at the marathon or at the Great North Run, they'll just say, hey, hi, good to see you.
And that's
enough. You know, you don't have to go and stay in a hotel or have a meal. You just check in with each other, you know.
Yeah.
It's a community.
That's
great.
Yeah.
So when did Marathon Talk start then? When did you... You were sort of pioneers, weren't you, really?
That's a very nice way of thinking about it. But
yeah.
But a terrible way to eat a pie.
Yeah. Got it all over my ears. We had... I was writing a bit like you do for print magazines. And,
right.
You know, my background was in education. You know, I did a PhD and a postdoc up in Loughborough, and I worked with teachers helping them understand, like, when they do stuff out of school,
right,
how they can make that work in school.
Okay.
And I was finding I was writing for six old men in an office in the middle of a long, cold, dark corridor, you know? And I thought, man, I need to get out of this. So started writing for running magazines.
Kafka-esque.
Yeah.
If I can find the end of this corridor.
So you started writing...
So I started writing for mags, and then I thought to myself, well, I'm a bit tired of that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure, again, about the reach, about the connecting with people in a meaningful way. And essentially, I like to meet people and talk to them. And
right.
So I thought, well, I must be able to do something with some audio. And podcasting wasn't really a massive thing.
It wasn't, no.
I think we're on episode 389 or something.
I know you're pushing 400.
Weekly episodes. We were inspired by the guys at IM Talk.
Okay.
Which is a long distance triathlon podcast. John and Bevan, and so we got in touch with them and said, "Can you help us?
Right.
You know, we really don't know how to do this. We're a couple of sort of running buffoons,
and this is you and Tom.
Me and Tom, yeah. Yes. We just want to talk about our running, a bit like you guys.
Yes. Yep.
So we thought we'd dream up a way of making a magazine style show just with audio content.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. Great.
So that's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had sections and, you know, we got guests on and
athletes and coaches.
Anyone yes. really who we found interesting.
Yes, yeah.
Inspiring.
And you had some connections in the athletics world.
Already? I did, yeah, yes, because, yeah. And Tom to a certain extent, you know, we both worked in physical activity or in running, and, you know, my wife was a good runner, so.
Of course, yes.
We knew we could gain access to some great interviews.
Well, it's interesting what you're saying about that magazine factor, because that's what's lovely about Marathon Talk is the magazine. We both do running. Look at why is it still nice weather in Swanage?
We're not going to look over there.
Yeah, don't look at that. But this is great.
It's going to go.
But yeah, because basically, you know, Running Commentary and Marathon Talk are both podcasts.
Yeah.
But what you've got is a like you say, an audio magazine. Whereas we've got the kind of traditional comedians podcast, which is just two blokes chantering on about stuff.
Yeah.
Except with a massive skew onto running, with added actual running.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're actually quite different beasts in a
for
really
sure.
nice way, because a podcast can be whatever you want it to be, I suppose.
Yeah, and we've gone through changes where we've implemented things and thought, I wonder if that will work.
Right.
And it doesn't. It's no, you know, like you guys think you probably write something and think, this
course,
is going to
yeah,
be
yeah.
fantastic.
Always, of course.
Always. I am going to knock this audience dead.
You find out pretty quick.
And you bring out your line, and you know, it's like you've
and
handed them a turd.
Oh, isn't it? Ideas. That's the magic of it. That's always the way. It's great.
Yeah, so, you know, that was how it came about. A discussion, me thinking. And then I just said to my mate, Tom, hey, do you want to do it with me? It'd be fun if there was more than just me doing it.
Yes. Yeah. Was so it just you at the beginning, or did you launch together?
No, we launched it together.
Right.
In 2010. Right. 2010. And we've done a show every single Wednesday. In fact, I think we may have started off on a Tuesday for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
We've done a show every Wednesday since.
I think that's quite enough plugs for Marathon Talk. As we come to the end of this running commentary condensed podcast, Rob reveals his fat boy past. Oh, and of course, it's windy.
When I was 17, the idea of running would have maybe...
Yeah.
You're crazy.
When did you start running?
When?
Yeah.
I had a kind of New Year's resolution in 2008, which led to me losing weight. It was kind of eat and drink healthily thing.
Right.
And
running was a good way to do that.
No, it's the other way around, really. I lost weight, so I felt good. And I thought, well, I ought to go to the gym. And the part of that was going on a treadmill.
Right.
And the fact that I could go on a treadmill for any period of time at all just amazed me. And in fact, belying what I just said,
so
I kind of realised that running was perhaps the one physical thing from when I was young that I had a vague memory that in another life I might have been good at, you know? So I started running a bit further, and that September I started running three times a week. And then it wasn't what originally made me lose weight, but it was what consolidated the weight loss and the kind of new me in general, both psychologically and physically, really.
Running is so great for that. Now, I find I've run all my life, but I used to use running because my focus was to run faster.
Yep.
Now my focus is not to run faster at all. There's no motivation for me to run any faster. But
no, it's great.
Yet running, still this amazing thing.
It abides, doesn't it? You don't need that. I remember thinking that, you know, talking about digging in and having that power to kind of basically override certain systems, certain things that your body wants. And you know, like saying to yourself, is it hurting? Yes. Do you need to stop?
Yeah.
No. Ignore it then, you know?
So speaking of that kind of train of thought,
yeah.
What I haven't told the guys is that when we look up, you can see the ferry's just departed.
No, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So basically,
all right. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
If we don't get to the to the peninsula, Rob's gone. Streaking off down the beach. He's realised that.
How long did it take to get over? 2 minutes? A couple of minutes?
Yeah, five.
We can do this. Come on, Ferry Run.
All right, but we're not going to tell Rob that as he tears up the last half a mile.
Make it. Did you say we've got plenty of time?
We'll make it. Enough time. So if you come round that corner,
yeah,
and the ferry has left, like if it's still docked, you come round the corner and you see it go,
yeah,
you've absolutely got to leg it.
Yeah, brilliant.
There's a 20-minute wait otherwise, you know.
Yeah. But then going back to what you were saying about what running gives you over time, that big running voice in my head, I always assumed was the kind of stricter, fitter, faster runner. But then I remember running and thinking, you know, injured week or whatever it was, just thinking, what if I've run my fastest miles? What if I never run a marathon as fast as that York one we talked about, you know? And the big voice in my head just said, so?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not running to run faster, I'm running to run. And it's nice to be reminded of that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And now, you know, I know I'm not running any quicker.
Yeah.
Not only do I know that, but I also have no desire to run any quicker than I have run in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, yet I still choose to run 5 times a week. And, you know, like the run we've done today, it's real, you know, proper nourishment.
It's absolutely, yeah.
That's an interesting point, because I think there comes a point where you feel running start to feed you. So it's something you have to do to feel, it's feeding you, do you know what I mean? It's something that you give yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a gift, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was on holiday last week. I went away for a week and didn't have any comedy gigs. I did a couple of runs, in fact. So it wasn't like I had a massive amount of time off. Around the end of the week, I skipped one run and I'd gone a week without getting up in front of an audience. And I was having a lovely time. It's a great holiday. But I said to my wife, I'm just starting to wonder who I am. Because my guy ropes, I've loosened off a couple of my guy ropes. And
yeah.
I don't know where this leaves me.
So you come and run 10 miles along the coast.
Yeah. This is real life, right?
Yeah.
10 miles in the rain and the sun and the towns and the hills and the boats.
And we've got about, 150 metres to go and the ferry's just docked.
It's so beautiful.
The other side.
Timing's good, do you think? Timing's good?
Yet again.
I want to see.
The boys have...
Oh, yeah, we're good. We got the timing.
The boys have hit the timing spot on.
I see Fort Paul running this 5-minute mile in 4:59. That's the skill.
There's no way I'm going to beat 5 minutes. No way.
You said you were going to do 5 minutes.
No, well, I've realised since that I can't string 4 75-second laps together.
Not
yet. I haven't got it.
Oh, you don't have much time, do you?
No, I don't have enough time, no. Yeah. If I can beat 5:20, I'll be pleased.
It's with a little more time.
Yeah. If I had the whole summer to go, I think maybe, but... I find I get... starts to feel very weak in my upper body when I try and run fast for long distances. It seems to come from just not strong, you know.
Do we have to go to this end of
this
fence?
There, we're done.
Right.
We can walk this bit.
Can you take photos of this? Take a photo of this beach for us. How far did we go?
6 miles?
Well, it's a little bit more than six. 10.5, big one!
Hey!
Great.
Beautiful.
Well, that was the longest I've run since a marathon, actually. I've been taking it super easy, yeah.
Yeah, we went for a run with Martin. He knows what he's doing, honestly.
Yeah.
He said we'd run 6 miles. We ended up nearly doing double the distance.
No, that's great. No, that's what I wanted. It was nice. It's nice to get back to a bit more.
So here's that blue sign you were talking about.
Yeah.
Can you take a photo with your phone of this sign on the beach? Have we got time for that?
Yeah.
Take it as we go. It was just fantastic.
Camera,
oh yeah, of course. Just go past this bracken, keeping it natural. There you go.
Woo.
So, and you have kept us out the window. I was thinking the window, we were really protected out there along the beach.
Yeah, we were, weren't we? Yeah. We got it right, I think. If we go that way, you'll get that. See that little southwest coast path thing there? That's
great.
Where we try and get in. Can we get that in?
I'm just getting the sun. There we go.
There you go.
Right. Wonderful.
That was great.
Well, let's just wrap up here. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you.
You
great.
Can find both our podcasts online. We're on Twitter, RunComPod. You're a...
Marathon Talk.
Yeah. Marathon Talk.
Marathon Talk.
Of course. And that was just great. If anyone is anywhere near the Isle of Purbeck, I would strongly recommend coming here and doing this.
Rob's saying that as if he's staggering. He's like limping, having rock climbed, battled nettles, fallen down.
Yeah, you know, if you're running here on your own, don't go up the rock, because it's easy enough to go up.
It's getting down.
It's getting windy again. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.